We're going to be in Galatians 6:14 tonight. I'm sorry, Ephesians 6:14. And, no, I'm sorry, I had it right, Galatians. You ever get those two mixed up, right? Galatians 6:14. It's kind of be our theme verse tonight. We're going to talk about boasting in the cross. What does it mean to boast in the cross? And why is that important for us? We're kind of in a society that boasting is pretty common. It's actually kind of admired, you know, to who can boast the most or who can look the best. You know, we have social media now, so it's real easy to put yourself up and kind of boast about you and your kids. I do that all the time. It's very fun. And even if it's not true, just make it up. It's all right. Nobody knows. But, God has a way of taking care of boasters sometimes. God kind of humbled you a little bit. Maybe you were got a little too proud. God, no, nobody, just me. Yeah, God brought you down a little bit. Maybe it was just nobody knew about it and you got brought down a few notches, but maybe you did it in front of somebody. I think at one time, probably one of the most embarrassing things I ever went through. Now, I'm being vulnerable here, okay? All right, so you have to appreciate that. This actually involves an ex-girlfriend, but my wife couldn't be here, so it's okay. I can tell this story. So I barely remember life without her, but there was a small little memory. There was this girl that I had been wanting to date in another city at a long time ago. I actually worked at a church in Fort Worth, and her dad was one of the staff members, one of the associate pastors, so I was very nervous about this endeavor. But I had kind of, the time came, and anyway, I got invited over to kind of have coffee and dessert after church one night. I'm thinking I'm pretty cool. I got invited. Yeah, I knew this would happen. Pretty proud of myself. Well, somewhere, something went wrong. Something went a little bit wrong. And I've sat on this couch. I went to make my cool move, and sit down smoothly on this couch and talk to the dad and the brother and the mom were all in there, the dog. Everybody's in there. Well, you ever seen those little candle holders that are on the walls? What do they call them? Sconch? I'll say it wrong. Candle holder. Anyway, this one actually had burning candles in it. It was this nice. I didn't notice as I went to sit down. So somewhere in the conversation, I kind of go to make this kind of cool move, or I'm just relaxing. And knock this candle off the wall, and this hot red wax pours out over my head, scalding hot wax. Of course, I'm on a white couch. Did I mention that? Did I mention the candle was red? So it wasn't that slow and smooth. I knocked it off. This all happened within about 3 seconds, is what I'm telling you, okay? But it's. So the chain reaction was, the hot wax is on my head. I jump up and scream. Basically, just a reaction, oh my gosh! And I jump up, and when I do, the metal thing holding the candle, it hits me in the head, and then I'm trying to catch it. There's a nice beveled glass table, coffee table in front of me. It goes, whoa, 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 slow motion. I'm like, no! Cracks this big crack in this nice, it wasn't one of those cheap ones like what I would have, it's just one big piece of glass. It's got, nice engraved and beveled sides and little, anyway. So I'm trying to catch this thing. It cracks as I'm trying to catch it. The dog, I mentioned the dog. I step on him. I step on the dog's tail, foot, whatever. He lets out a big scream. And the family's just staring at me. So within about, that all happens like boom, 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 boom. And I'm standing there with wax and the dog's running. The glass is broken. And I don't know what just happened. And they're like, oh, are you okay? Are you sorry? I was like, oh, I think it's really getting late. I need to go. It didn't work out. It didn't last regardless, even with such a great start. So I got over it. It took me a while, but sometimes we're up here And sometimes it takes some things to knock us down. That's kind of a funny little story, but what that happens to us spiritually sometimes. You know, sometimes we think too much of what we've accomplished in our life or what we've been able to do. And we have to remember, Paul tells us in Galatians to be careful, to boast only in Christ, in the cross of Christ. So let's start in verse 11, Galatians chapter 6. Real quick before we read it, just a little bit background, what's going on here. The new church is being formed, new disciples. Paul's going around, he's preaching the gospel, he's starting these churches, and he's starting them the way Jesus wanted him to start them. He's preaching faith alone is how you become a Christian. You want to follow Christ now. You don't have to do what you used to do. You don't have to follow any rituals. You don't have to, you know, you're not under the law. You're under grace now, and Christ died. And that's the new way. And then a little time would lapse, and people would come in and say, well, let's fudge a little bit on that. Let's say faith plus circumcision. Let's say faith plus a little bit of ritual. A little bit of that was going on. So Paul in Galatians is as blunt as he probably gets, and he's saying, you know, he gets really angry. He gets really upset at them, and we'll see what he says to them. But you kind of see what's going on and what is the background a little bit. Verse 11, he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." And they think maybe he was telling somebody what to write. He's kind of transcribing this letter to the Galatians. And he says, give me the pencil. I'm going to write it with my own hand. And he's really emphasizing, I want you to hear this before I finish this letter. It's almost over. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. He's saying the only thing that matters now is, are you a new creation? I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what marks you have on your body. I don't care who your daddy was. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're a Gentile. This is the new thing. Are you a new creation? Do you have Christ? And this is the theme of Galatians. It's faith. It's not works. So they're trying to do these things. These people were coming in and they were teaching, and they were trying to keep everybody happy. And they were saying, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do that, but I don't want to make the Jews mad. So we'll just make them all, you know, be circumcised, and we'll make them do a few things. And that's also a way we can avoid persecution from Rome, because Rome's kind of already familiar with the Jews. They don't love the Jews, but they know what the Jewish church is, and we can just say we're Jews, but we're still following Jesus, and we're Christians, but we're still Jews, and we're still, and they ended up just kind of being wishy-washy, mixed up, nothing, lukewarm. And Paul gets mad, and he says, you're mutilators. He calls them fools for what you're trying to do. This is foolish. Don't try to be it. And he says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross. Some versions say, God forbid it that I would do that. But Paul says, why are you boasting about that? Look what you're boasting about. It sounds stupid to us. It sounds crazy to us. But what ridiculous things do we do to bring before God, hoping for his approval? We might not say it out loud. We might not say, hey, look at me. I did this. Hey, I know the scripture. Hey, I know this. I've been in Sunday school this long. Hey, look at me. I go to this church. Hey, look who my parents are. We might not say it out loud. Sometimes our hearts kind of say it. Sometimes we find ourselves kind of leaning on who we are, leaning on our intelligence, leaning on our knowledge, leaning on our church status or our friendships, leaning on whatever it is. And we forget that. What does he say? It's nothing else. Don't boast about that. You know, my kids, I don't know where they get this, but there's like, they kind of think it's funny now, and I'll say, I'll ask them something and they'll go, because I'm awesome. I'm like, okay, now really, what's the answer, really? You know? And there's this movie out. It's Lego Movie. Has anybody seen the Lego Movie? The whole theme to the movie is everything is awesome. So when I'm trying to, you know, that's like, everything's awesome. I'm awesome. We're cool. Everything's good. I'm good. Yeah, everything's awesome. Like, okay, you're not going to be awesome very long. Answer what I said. Listen to me. But do we live that way? Haughty spirit. The Bible talks about a haughty spirit. Is that your boasting? Or this is a big way we boast. I got this. Hey, you need to get in a group of believers, maybe a Sunday school class or a small group. Boasting would say, no, I really don't. I'm kind of good by myself. Hey, I know you're going through a hard time. Do you need us to pray for you? No, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. Is that not pride? Is that not boasting? By us saying, I'm kind of pushing people away. I'm just going to slide into church and just sit there and listen. If that's all I need, because I know you people, you need each other, and you need that accountability, and you need that encouragement. Not me. I've got it. Is that not the same thing? And they were cutting their bodies, and they were doing other things, and we go, that's so silly. But don't we kind of get there sometimes, and we kind of think, I got this. They're a little more needy. I'm not that needy. They need to talk. I've got my own stuff. So we can live the same ridiculous way. You know, some people may not be able to just, you know, follow money like me. I really follow money, and I work, and that's what I'm really after. But I can do that and follow God, because I'm different. I'm a little more special. Right? Paul's heart, he says, I care nothing from the glory that comes from fame. I care nothing from the glory that comes from riches. I care nothing from the status and power among men. He only cared about the glory of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it sounds kind of impossible. So you're saying, I can't boast about anything, just the cross? Sounds kind of boring. Simple-minded. Is it impossible? Can I do that? Why does it sound a little bit weird for us? Here's a few reasons. It's hard for us to appreciate how strange Paul's words are here when he says, I glory in the cross. Because the word glory and the word cross then didn't really seem to go together. To us, the cross, it's very different, you know, but think about what the cross was back then. What did it represent? Death. Execution. But Paul's like, I'm all about the execution and death. You know, the word for cross wasn't even be spoken public. It was kind of rude and kind of crude. You wouldn't even talk about that in front of people. They're like, oh, that's disgusting. Don't say that. Well, today it's on our keychain, around our neck. It's on our cars. It's on the front of the church. So when we say glory in the cross, we're, yeah, glory in the cross. But when Paul said, I glory in the cross, it'd be like you saying, I glory in the electric chair. Do you see my new jewelry? I've got an electric chair. Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't that be weird? Hey, look, I've got a noose on my earrings. Y'all see my hangman's noose? Isn't that cool? That's my new tattoo, the electric chair. How about that? See, he's saying, I'm glorying in those things. But to them, it was very weird. They seemed to be in direct opposite. Seemed more logical to glory in what? What does it seem more logical to glory in? My knowledge, my good looks, my personality, my job. I glory in that. My family, look at my kids. Look at this. That seems more logical. What Paul's saying, you've got to go through the cross. All that has to glory through the cross. Should it be our only joy? If you're taking notes, write this down. For Christians, every good thing or every bad thing that God turns for good was obtained by the cross of Christ. For us as Christians, every good thing, every blessing, the only reason we have it is because of the cross of Christ. Now, the reason I said and bad things, because you're like, so the bad things are the good and bad. And a lot of times I think we get the word blessing, we think that means riches, or only good stuff is blessing. But is that what we see in Scripture? Does Paul only praise God for his good things and his riches? Or does he praise him in jail? When he gets horsewhipped, he praises him. But we kind of see, ooh, he's going through bad things. He's not getting blessed. You're going through good things. You're getting blessed. God likes you. He doesn't like you. Something's wrong. So we have to remember, what is blessing really? Everything we have, even if we see it or don't see it, we not always know. For Christians, every good thing and every bad thing God turns for good were obtained by the cross of Christ. A world with no cross equals a world with only judgment. If it wasn't for the cross, if we didn't have the cross, there would be no blessings. And we might have riches, we might have stuff, we might have good things, but there would only be judgment because we didn't have the cross. Without his death, we only get judgment. Everything we rejoice in should be rejoicing in the cross, where it was all purchased at the cost of his death. So think about your list of blessings, okay? Close your eyes for just a second. Go into blessing mode. Think of those good things. If you had to write them down, your good stuff list, those blessings, those things you're excited about, those things that you're passionate about, that you're thankful for. Okay, now let's look at it. Did you immediately say, because of God on the cross, because Jesus died on the cross? Because I think sometimes we write down all the good stuff, and if we're not careful, we go, boy, I got great kids. And we start thinking, why do I have great kids? Well, I've got great kids because I'm a great dad. Okay. We've got great family, you know. God's given us this. Why do I have a great family? Well, because I had a great grandma. Why do you have a great grandma? Well, I have a great grandmother, and it's just kind of passed down. I've got a great job. Why do you have a great job? Because I worked hard in school. I went to college. I knew this friend. I worked my way up through the ranks. I started here in this room, and I'm worked up here, and now I've got a great job. And that's your blessing. And why do I get blessing? I'm given thankfulness. We bypass all blessings come from Jesus. All the things we have good, even the things that we have that we might not understand they're good. You know, when God says, God will take, we always say, you know, anything that's bad, God can turn it for good. And you're like, well, I'm still waiting for that explanation. I got something bad in my life right now, and I'm having trouble praising God for it because I don't see how this is good. I'm going to wait. I've been waiting 20 years. You haven't explained, God, what you did 20 years in my life that was horrible. You know, the Bible never says, I'll turn things to good and I'll let you know about it. Does he? He says, I'll turn things for good, and you may never understand it or know why it was there, but I'll use it. And, you know, it can be just like a blessing. So we think about our list of blessings, and we have to remember, are we cross-centered? Are we cross-centered? We take it for granted. We think we have the right to good things. Oh, man, here we go. Don't get started. Most of our political fights, what are they about? Rights to health care, rights to a great education. I have a right to a new car. I have a right to a great house and a big one. I have rights to not having any problems. But that's not cross-centered. The truth is we don't deserve those things. We're not guaranteed those things. We're creation. We're a creation of God. Think about it. If you were God and you created these things and they're like demanding, I demand my rights. I demand you give me better whatever. And that's kind of ridiculous. Every breath we have, every day, every time we see, it's a blessing from God. Every time we breathe, that's a blessing. That's because of the cross of Christ. Every time we hear, every time we walk across the room, every time we get to hug our kids, it's a free, undeserved gift from God. If we refuse to see his gifts in this way, we're building a case for our ingratitude. Every time we forget to say, oh yeah, glory to God. And I'm not just talking about every time something goes good at work, you're down, yes, glory to Jesus. You don't have to do the Tebow, you know, thank you, yes. But verbalize it out loud or verbalize it to God. You know, that's just, it'd be like you getting these things and you're not saying thank you. You ever seen a spoiled person, somebody who's ungrateful? Is there anything that kind of drives you crazy? Is, you know, you take somebody out to eat, I'm buying your lunch. And they're like, okay. Did you enjoy your lunch? It was free lunch. Do you like it? Mm-hmm. How about a thank you? Oh, yeah, yeah, thank you, thank you, sorry. My kid, I won't say which one of my almost perfect children, one time wanted some, I believe it was a candy bar. And I was like, all right, I'll get you a candy bar. Go ahead and get you one. He had his little candy bar, and I started looking at it. I was like, man, I have a bite of that. I said, hey, can I get a little bite of that? He was like, no, you bought it for me. I just got it. I was like, give me that candy bar. I took it, and I went, I ate the entire thing. My wife's like, what are you doing? Are you going crazy? I said, that makes me insane. I bought that candy bar for you, and you won't even give me a little nibble? It's like, He didn't get the lesson, but that just made me crazy. I just spent $2.50 to give you a big Milky Way, and you won't even give me a nibble, and you're like, no, it's mine. I'm like, it's not yours. You don't have anything. Everything you have is mine. I'm in my room, Dad. Get out of my room. These are my toys. You have nothing. I bought it all. Golly. Wouldn't that not make you insane? So how does it make God feel when he keeps loving us, he keeps forgiving us, and we forget, and we don't say thank you. And somebody looks at us and goes, wow, you have a great blank. Are you sure I've been blessed with a great blank? And we go, yeah, I have. And it's only because the cross of Jesus, you know, it's because of what he's done in my life. And let me tell you why. This is because of what he's done. And Jesus gave you a good, how does that relate to God? And you say, well, let me tell you how it relates to God. Everything we have is from God. And then you get to share and you get to give glory back to God. So, bad things also, we don't really want to give praise for those things that don't make sense, those curveballs that we get that we don't really want to talk about. You know, we like to talk about the blessings, but it's okay to talk about the things that aren't quite perfect, that don't seem perfect to us. You know, and that's God preparing us. I wrote a great quote down from, Colt McCoy's parents were here, and they wrote a little book. I don't know if any of you got it, but it was really good. I've read it a couple of times. It was talking about preparing your children, and it relates to adults too, but it says, don't prepare the path for your kids. Prepare your kids for the path. You know, don't clear everything out of the road and say, just a minute, sonny, I'm going to make everything perfect so you don't ever trip or fall or make sure you have no struggles. You're going to have a perfect life. Mommy will take care of it. Don't worry. He says, don't prepare the path. Prepare the kid for the path. You know, because we don't want problems. We don't want struggles. We don't want those hard times. But what would we be like if we never had a problem? What would your kids be like if they'd never had a problem? What would you be like if you'd never had anything go wrong? I bet you'd be pretty obnoxious. It wouldn't be fun to be. I mean, what can God uses those little chiseling as those things don't go right. You know, nobody asked for it, but you know, and I've got a lot of things in my life that I can look back and say, hey, I didn't see that coming. I wouldn't have ordered that at the drive-thru God window. I didn't ask for this one. But when I look back, I say, man, you know what I can tell you? God never left my side. He sustained me through that. And that made it a blessing. That made it a blessing. So do I understand exactly why that happened? Nope, I don't. And I may never. And God didn't promise me that he would explain everything to me before I get to heaven. And you'll totally know why I did everything in your life. But he did promise that he would never leave me. So how do we do it? The only way to boast in the cross from this verse says, what do we got to do? We have to live on the cross. He says, the world is crucified to me. This is back in verse 16. The world is crucified to me. Verse 14. And I'm crucified to the world. He says, far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, I don't care about the world, and the world probably doesn't care about me. I'm crucified in both ways. Galatians 2, a few chapters back, verse 19, we've heard this one before. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when Christ died, what happened? We died. And that old self who wants to boast in himself and what he's done, he's dead. And those other things that I used to shoot for, and that's my goal. Those are the things that I want to do. This is success in my life. These are things that have to happen. If they're not going through the cross, they should be dead to me. You've heard people say, you're dead to me, right? You're dead to me. Well, that's what it should be. You're gone. So that's hard to do because we feel that pull. Every legitimate pleasure in the world that's not idolatry, they all become blood-bought evidence of Christ's love. Think about that. Every blessing we just talked about a while ago, they're all evidence of blood-bought evidence of Christ's love. And it gives us an occasion to boast in the cross. I want to show you a picture. C.S. Lewis has a great illustration, and I don't remember which book it was in, but he uses a ray of sunshine. And he talks about how this great ray of light, it illuminates the things, you know, and maybe it's something where we can look back and say, a while ago, I wish it would have stayed, but the sun went down a little bit. There was actually a couple rays of light. There's rays of light coming through here, and it's really beautiful when it comes through. And he said, we tend to look at that light, and when it's lighting up, and we go, wow, it's beautiful. Look at that. And he says, what I want you to do, what God wants us to do, is to get into that light, what it's shining on right here. Look at this thing it's shining on. It's beautiful. Look at this blessing. But he said he wants us to get in that light and to turn back around and look at the source. And that's what this guy's trying to do, I think. He's not just saying, wow, look at that beautiful sunlight. What is he doing? He's looking back in the hole and he's going, but what is the source? Where does it come from? That's what's beautiful. And if we just stop with looking at the blessing, I'm going to use my family for another example. If I just look at my kids and go, man, I'm blessed. Look at these children. I'm just blessed. And then I just stroke them. Oh, you're great. You're a blessing. But if I never turn around and go, you're a blessing because of you. This is good for me because of the source of this light. And that's what he says. Look, don't just forget about the things that God's light, he lights up and he gives us things and things are good and we see those blessings, but also to turn around and look up, look at the source, look back at what's doing that. John Piper says, the blood-soaked cross of Christ is the blazing center of God's glory. I'll say it again. The blood-soaked cross of Christ is the blazing center of God's glory. So what is God's glory? Where does it start? It starts on the blood-soaked cross of Jesus. And it has to be that way. That's where the sacrifice took place. That's where our sins were purchased. And that enabled us to have blessings. So, my boast is in the cross. If I don't give that back, if somebody looks at, I'm using the family illustration again. If somebody looks at my family and says, well, you have a nice family. You've been really blessed. If I don't turn that back around and give it, that's me robbing God. That's me robbing God. I need to stop. And maybe I don't always get to say it or there's not an opportunity to voice it, but in your heart, you've got to be giving it back to God. You've got to be acknowledging that. And if it goes good or if it goes bad, I've raised my children to follow Christ as much as I can. We were missionaries overseas. They went with us. We dragged them along. People asked us when we went overseas, are you taking your kids? I was like, no, we're just going to leave them at the mall. Yeah, we're taking our children. We think we're going to be there a couple of years. We might miss them. But anything you do, you think, hey, I've done my very best. And my prayer would be, hey, that they would follow Christ their whole life. That'd be just awesome. And that's a blessing, and I give glory to God. I boast in the cross for what you're going to do. What if they don't? What if they don't? What if they turn away and do something else? And I have to say, I don't know why that happened. I've done is all I can do. I boast in the cross. I boast in the cross because I know God is in it. God loves them. He's going to take care of them. I don't understand it, but I'm not going to stop praising him because something didn't go the way I thought or what I thought it should be or the perfect way or like all my other friends' kids. And I'm gonna be thankful, and I'm going to give glory to God. I want to boast in the cross.